This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
All right, right now let's talk to our good friend Brian Broaddus from DallasCowboys.com. Broaddus, how you doing today, sir?
Doing well, boys. How about yourselves?
Doing okay.
Super.
I have an important not football question to ask you based on our last discussion. If you really wanted to try to balance the budget and you had to sell a state, what is the first state that you would sell?
The first state you would sell to balance the budget?
Yep.
I think you'd have to think about, man, I don't know what state has the best, the oil market would not be enough, I think. I'm thinking about the country, the state with the most mineral rights, you know, when you're thinking about things like with gold and silver and stuff, because that seems to be
Alaska
holding value right now. I don't know. That's good. Maybe Alaska.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Alaska might be the one, because Alaska to me, and you've been there, Heggy, you know,
yes.
you know what that's all about. Not many. There's only three states I haven't been to in my life, and Alaska is one of them. So
what are the other two?
Montana and Idaho.
I'm knocking both of those out this summer.
Well, there you go. You've got me beat. Everybody else. But I think you'd have to probably think that with the vast bit of land that Alaska has, maybe a lot of uncharted area there too as well. I mean, I'm speaking over my head here, but I think that would be the state that probably has the most value when you start talking about overall mineral rights and potential oil and stuff like that. It depends on if gas and oil and all that goes back up, which, you know, it kind of it has its moments. But I think that's what did you guys say? What states?
I said Alaska and Hawaii made the most logical sense to start. Florida.
Yeah, I just think, did anybody say Texas? Did anybody say they would sell the state of Texas?
A great place to start, because, and I agree, but there's no way I could do it with my heart.
Well, no, I don't think we all want to sell our home here.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you know, I know I'm from here, so, I mean, but I think if you were talking about what state would potentially have the most value, you know, and I don't know if you could say that California, with the questions that they have out there, you know, I mean, the scenery and all, I think is great. The view's great, but where, you know, with what is the real value? I mean, I don't know, maybe in the Sierra Mountains and stuff like that, they've got some stuff that I'm not thinking of, but I think Texas and Alaska would probably be two pretty valuable states.
There you go. Like that.
That was a long answer. Sorry about that, boys.
That's a good way to get everything all squared away for our country. And that's what Kevin's always trying to do, is he's our the country's accountant.
What state you think is the least valuable?
Kansas.
Oh, why Kansas?
I just threw a state out there.
It's just flatter than a sheet of paper. It's
Nebraska.
Okay. I know you could feed people with Nebraska.
So you're really out on the Midwestern states.
Idaho.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, again, if you think about states like along the Gulf Coast, you know, would Alabama have the least amount of value, or Mississippi?
West Virginia.
Maybe West Virginia.
How do they get two Virginias?
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Moonshine, though. Good moonshine there, though.
Broaddus, I did want to ask you before we dive in on some Cowboys discussion.
Sure.
the
fun Wednesday night, isn't it?
There was the note that the NFL has asked teams to not do the Oklahoma drill anymore.
Yeah.
And I talked a little bit about this today on the Facebook Live feed, and I feel like there's a lot of camaraderie that goes into that drill specifically, and I don't know if coaches are going to be very happy about that.
Well, you know, I can honestly say that since I was in the league in 1992, the National Football League, I can't remember going to a training camp practice and seeing the Oklahoma drill.
Really?
In the NFL. Yeah, I mean, now I've seen, matter of fact, Ted Emmerich and I were calling a high school game. Coppell was playing LD Bell, and they did the Oklahoma drill before a game, and LD Bell lost their starting linebacker, their middle linebacker, by doing it. Jammed his neck and was out of the game. And that, so their best defensive player was lost before the game was even started, and on an Oklahoma drill. But I can't say that this is my Green Bay Packer, Philadelphia Eagles, Jacksonville Jaguars, even with Tom Coughlin and some of the crazy things he did. And then, you know, now with the Cowboys and stuff, I can't remember somebody doing an Oklahoma drill. But I know it's very prevalent. LSU, that was a big thing. I think they call it the big cat drill at LSU where they, you know, get everybody involved. It's a hype thing and all. And so, yeah, I mean, I just think that, it, you know, the league is starting to – not starting. I think the league is really, really focusing on player safety and these practices and stuff like that. Necessary, unnecessary drills. They're trying to kind of get an idea about that.
Well, and I also – one of the suggestions is if they – tell their teams not to do it, then maybe college and high schools and peewee leagues will say, oh, well, if the NFL's not doing it, we don't have to either, and therefore they don't have to start dealing with CTE at such an early stage.
Well, this goes back again. I don't mean back in the day, guy, but this is my story about my days at LSU, and I started there in 82, and, you know, the practices, honestly, guys, were pretty barbaric, you know, with and we were kind of in that mode where they were just thinking about having water breaks. You know, they, okay, we'll give you a water break. You drink too much water, you're going to get sick, you know, and all that stuff. And then in 1983, we had a player die at Auburn. And all of a sudden, things really switched for us. You know, and the whole, I know in the Southeastern Conference at that time, it's like, no, you got to give these guys water breaks. You got to take them off the field. You got to have water available. You got to, you know, all these things that, you know, now are just, total, you know, they wouldn't go on a practice field without having all that stuff. And, you know, I think the sport has come, you know, if you're playing football, no matter what level, you're tough. You know, you're tough. You don't have to prove your toughness to me if you're going to line up and put on the pads and go out there and work and all that. You don't have to prove you're tough to me. So, you know, I'm in a way, I'm really, really happy to see because, you know, I want my son to enjoy football. I don't want to be a hypocrite and say, you know what, I don't want Bennett playing football. I really don't want him playing because I think it's too barbaric. I think, you know, I worry about player safety and all that. It'd be very hypocritical of me. I've made a living because of football, and I want Bennett to enjoy it, but I'm really happy that they're trying with the more innovations with the helmets, with tackling, with the rule changes, you know, with breaks and stuff like that to take care of the players. I think those are all things that can only help the football, the game, the players, and the enjoyment of the game.
Talk with Brian Broaddus right here on 105.3 The Fan, and we will frequently tell people, you know, they should hit you up on Twitter at Brian Broaddus
sure.
or check out your stuff on DallasCowboys.com because we believe that you are in the loop and you know what's going on. So I'm hoping you can help me out here. Why no interest then or now in Sue or McCoy?
Yeah, they went with the idea. Their whole one of the points they like to brag about is the fact of how young their team is, and okay. you know the young players are generally healthier players. Now, don't get me wrong here. The Cowboys have had their share of guys, young players they've gotten hurt. I was talking to David Hellman, like, oh, Leighton Vander Esch is already out. Now that's good, you know, that kind of thing, but. No, I think that to me that they're a team that is really very interested in staying young. I think they're very interested in drafting. I think they're interested in developing and trying to sign. That's just been their mode. I mean, when we were messing up drafts back in the day, you know, when we were god awful at doing this, we'd have gone after Ndamukong Suh. We'd have gone after McCoy. You know, we'd have gone after that because we were busting so many picks. So, you know, I think that, you know, they're really happy about, hey, let's go out and get a Tristan Hill. We've done a lot of work on him. And again, you know, if you want to tell me that Gerald McCoy is better than, Malik Collins, well, yeah, you're probably right about that. You know, you make those kind of moves if you're saying, okay, we're moving on from Malik. We're moving on from a Crawford. We're moving on from somebody. But that didn't seem they like the players. You know, one of the big problems in the National Football League is, you know, these teams that misevaluate their players. You know, when you can't evaluate your own team, you're going to have problems. And I think the Cowboys have a pretty good handle on the evaluation of their team. You know, they've let some guys go. I mean, you know, they let the Dez Bryants go. They've let Cole Beasley go and sign somewhere else. You know, they've got a plan for what they want to do. So. Again, a long answer here. I just don't feel like that they want to add that type of a player. They don't want to add a veteran player on a one-year deal, even though they did it with Robert Quinn, but they felt like they probably had to do that because they felt like they had to get a right end to go along because they didn't know the situation with Randy Gregory. You know, that Taco Charlton hasn't developed like they thought he might. So they felt like they had to make that trade, make that move, make that one-year deal to make something work like this.
Now, since it's going down, and some people might know the term but might not know what all gets accomplished, what goes down at the OTAs that is of value for the team going into training camp and then the season?
Well, it gives the young guys, the rookies, and the undrafted free agent guys an opportunity to learn what the pace is going to be at practice. And I had a couple of scouts come by my cubicle area just this afternoon after practice, and they said, you know, hey, it's helmets, shirts, and t-shirts and shorts. We get it. But the way that the team practiced, the pace to which they practiced, you know, that's really what OTAs is all about. Garrett talked about it today, the installation every day of putting something in, trying to figure something out. You know, the sooner that you can get the young guys acclimated to how, A, you want to practice, you know, because young guys, they're not used to the speed at which an NFL team practices or plays. And also it could be a little bit eye-opening to even a guy, you know, like the kid Hyatt from Clemson. You know, he's played in two national championship games, played against University of Alabama a couple different times. You know, he kind of understands, but then you get in the NFL, it's a totally different thing when Robert Quinn is rushing over the top of you right there. So, you know, these kinds of things help these guys. And, you know, they need to, you know, Garrett was saying, they're always in the drills, hey, stay off the ground, stay off the ground. I mean, that's really the whole idea, is trying to figure out ways to practice with speed, practice with pace, learn your assignments, but also protect each other as you practice. And I think really that's what everybody gets out of the OTAs.
Now, I know Randall Cobb talked a little bit today, and I think people are kind of excited about him. And
sure,
I know,
yeah.
KT keeps bringing up the, if he can stay healthy.
The hamstring, yeah.
And the dude's had some weird injuries throughout his career. He's been one of those guys I loved for fantasy football, but I was always wondering. But can he be better utilized by the Kellen Moore offense than Cole Beasley was? And by just being put on the outside sometimes?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we'll have to see where I've noticed this about the Kellen Moore offense just in today. And, you know, again, observation, first day we get to watch him, that kind of thing. If you watch the Rams play, they play with a lot of tight formations. And I mean tight formations where they play with twin receivers, you know, two on this side, two on this side. But they play real tight to the formation. So you don't have to really play with a tight end. And they use those guys like as blockers, but then they run them in routes. They're really successful of doing that. When they play tight formation, they have some really creative things that they run out of it. And, you know,
it's like pick and roll in basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I've noticed a little bit of some more tight formations. You know, when you watch with Scott Linehan, it was a little bit more open. You know, when you're talking about open, I mean, you know, wide receivers spread out, trying to kind of create space. But with Kellen, it seems to be a little bit more tight with what like the Rams do. And then he was playing with a fullback more today. I mean, you know, I mean, I've been through practices where I never even seen Olawale on the field. And now, you know, I'm watching practice and, you know, he's out there, you know, quite a bit in some of the team periods and some of the play action periods and stuff like that they were doing today. So maybe a little bit of a hint that Kellen Moore wants to play a little bit more with a fullback and, you know, try and create some opportunities there with that, but also a little bit tighter formations with like 11 personnel stuff, the one back stuff, but bring the receivers in a little bit and have them work that way. So something to keep an eye on going forward. To answer your question about Cobb, yeah, whether he plays inside, outside, jet sweep, whatever you need to do to get the ball in his hands. That's something, again, Jason Garrett was talking about. This guy's a former, you know, you look at what he was, a quarterback at Tennessee, in Tennessee at high school, and then, you know, University of Kentucky, you know, really a dynamic player. But, you know, when you watched him play, man, he had one of the best quarterbacks in the league throwing him the football. And that's where I think that, you know, but, you know, even when Rodgers was out a little bit, he was still having some productive days. So that just tells you the type of player that he's capable of being.
Now, we kicked this around a little bit last week because the NFL Twitter account said something about it, and maybe they were joking, but I was intrigued nonetheless. Do you think the NFL would ever adopt the lottery system for the teams that didn't make the playoffs for the draft?
Gosh, I hope not. I really don't. I mean, maybe, you know what? I hope I'm on the at the lake house cooking crawfish when that happens. You know, and there are, Derek Eagleton and I were talking about today. I think the league was talking about bringing the combine into prime time. You know,
yeah, that's
like,
done.
Yeah. Well, okay. There we go. You know, I'm so, and again, I'm sorry for being back in the day guy, but I'm just so used, and I think this is really going to affect the teams and the way they operate. You know, and you know, you're not thinking about your member clubs when you do these things. You know, interviews are really important at night. You know, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, they don't go on the road scouting. They get to meet, you know, if they set up meetings at the hotel and they allow their players to come there and meet with them and stuff like that. And it's really just a great opportunity. But if you start messing with the interview times and how the teams operate, you know, the combine really has always been, it's been about the interviews and it's been about the medicals. And now you're gonna, you know, you're gonna make them work. The combine has always worked on. It starts here. It goes to here. It finishes, and then the next group comes. You know, you always have that kind of the flow to the days of the combine. And I just don't understand. I get it. Okay, I should say this. TV dictates everything we do in sports now. It just really, really does. And so I have a feeling that you're going to have a lot of general managers, a lot of scouts, a lot of people will be talking about, hey, this is going to be really unfortunate that the combine goes to prime time. And, you know, that's, I understand. I never thought in my life when I was sitting there in 1992 at the old Hoosier Dome that this thing would ever be on TV. But here we go. We're starting to have workouts at night.
Good stuff, as always, Broadus. We love our Wednesday nights with you.
Appreciate it, boys. How about that? 2 weeks in a row? Well, no, last week we went a little early, but we'll keep catching up here. You know, we got these OTAs every Wednesday, so we'll kind of keep banging along here and get this thing finished out for us.
You're the man, dude.
Appreciate you, boys. Take care.
There he goes.
And we'll definitely mark that last part.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.